Good evening. I'd like to call the regular council meeting to order for July 17th, Tuesday at 6:11 p.m. Thank you for your patience tonight. First order of business is pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next order of business is a moment of silence for our military men and women, and we lost a resident on Saturday morning, Mary Novak. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is roll call, please.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlowski.
Here.
Kolograph.
Here.
Spitznagel.
Here.
Thank you, council members. Also, let the record reflect that our law solicitor, Mr. William Mason, is here, as well as our clerk of council and fiscal officer, Katie Iconis. Next item on the agenda is item 5, persons having business. What we would probably do is hand a microphone over if you have comments or questions. There was a paper handed to us about Mr. Mason. Would you go ahead and like to make a comment on it, sir? Before we have persons having business, Mr. Mason would like to make a comment.
Sure. We received a request from Carlene Dean that states... I received a request from Carlene Dean asking that under the Sunshine Law, pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 121.22, paragraph G1, she says she would like to discuss my employment in public at the council meeting on July 17, 2018. The public session right now, there will be a public session, and if she wants to discuss that publicly, she's free to do so.
There's also one for Carol Stanford.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah. Same request.
Same request. So with that being said, we'll go to item 5, persons having business before council. Would anyone like to come forward and say something? Yes, sir. We have a microphone.
This one will go further.
Just talk there, that's fine. Go ahead.
This one will go
after. Hi, my name is Tom Nowicki, 17612 Pickford Road. I'll mention some of the people will probably laugh about, but I'm thinking about dead trees. And nobody's thinking about that now, but this is July, and I know I'm looking at dead trees that I'm seeing near power lines, and there's a couple near where I live, and I would like to get some clarification, because you know when the first ice storm comes down, I've been watching this couple near my neighborhood, and when the first ice storm comes down, that's when they come down, they knock everybody's power out. And CEI, I believe, trims them up to 20 feet from the road, and after that, nothing. So I'm wondering, and you know, I don't want to be the mean person in the neighborhood, but there's a couple that I know are going to come down sooner or later, and they're going to knock out my power and all the neighbors. And I'd like to ask, I don't know if I should ask Rob or someone, I mean, do you notify, you don't want to be mean to residents, but sooner or later it's going to come down. I'm asking all of you, too, if you have one that's going to come down and knock down your power lines, maybe now is the time to start calling a tree service. And, I mean, nobody wants to pay for it, but it's going to happen. It's going to come down. And I'll yell to Rob, is there something I can give you, addresses where you could say nicely to people, are you thinking of knocking this tree down? Because I've got two 50-foot monsters. I mean... Am I off base there, Mayor? I don't know the procedure for that.
We can do that. Typically, residents don't like me telling them to remove a tree or spend money on it.
I understand. I mean,
I'm the bad guy, which is fine.
So
if you have an address, it's forwarded to the department, and I'll be more than happy
okay.
to follow up on it.
And you just go by cooperation of
people. We start with cooperation.
But there's maybe 100 people here. Maybe you might have one, and I'm thinking of you. Okay. Second thing is, we do have a camera tower in front of the community center. Are we getting any more of the towers on maybe Egbert Road, Sagamore, Walton? What's the situation with that? You might know more than anybody else if they're coming soon or what the issue or reason or if we are or not. And I'll hand it back to you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, proper procedure is just notify the department, and then the department will follow up. That's the proper procedure. As far as the cameras question was, there's not a large volume, or there's not a good plain sight. That's why we're right in front of one White Oaks on Egbert, and that's what we're looking at right now. And we're waiting on those numbers before, because the camera company's making the investment, not the village. We don't have any money in this game.
So if there's enough, they will?
They'll install cameras.
Okay, so it's all volume and violation from other,
yes,
other roads. Okay.
Yes. Any other person before have questions? Yes, sir. Yes, yes, come up here. Thanks. Please give your address and your name.
I'll do that. My name is Mitch Stindle. I live at 17357 Andrews Drive. The village of Walton Hills is broke. I mean that both literally and figuratively. When I say that they're broke, I better have something to back that up. And so what I'm going to tell you is that I believe, and they'll verify this for us, that in January of 2019, my garbage collection taxes are going to be added to my property taxes. I believe sewage rates are going to go up and be added to my property taxes. I also believe that the council is going to implement a involuntary from a point of view that no one voted for it, $3 million increase to our property taxes. So I believe with all those things going into play, we're broke. That's the only reason we do it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they can clarify that. That's the literal broke. The figurative broke goes like this. Last week, we had a meeting here, and the mayor asked for a proposal or resolution, I'm not sure what it was, for not to exceed $25,000 to make some capital improvements to the community center. Now, I want to state for all of you that the rationale behind the monies was good. I thought it was fair and valid and made sense. It seemed to me that the council people either had just heard about this or maybe only heard about it a couple of days because they didn't seem to have a lot of information. The public had no information. I'm wondering if the journal could maybe give us some more information, but that's a separate subject. So public had no information about some conversations and negotiations the mayor had had with Cuyahoga Heights. Bottom line is this, the village is broke. Okay, so as good a deal as that might be, as great a wonderful thing that capital improvement might be, we don't have the money. Well, wait a minute, we do have the money. And I'll explain that to you. But I do want to tell you this, if in my own home I wanted to widen our driveway, and they said, hey, honey, I want to widen the driveway, she said, well, you can't need money, you probably wouldn't widen the driveway, even if it had a really good reason to do it. Okay, here's the deal. So, by unanimous vote, this council, in a very short period of time, decided to allocate that $25,000. By the way, that's 1.5% of the total police budget, $25,000. And so everybody said, well, nobody even really questioned it. Nobody even gave any hard questions like, why can't we really use the village hall? It has turnarounds. It has police. It has cameras. Why can't we use the current place? Can we get volunteers to come in and make this improvement and maybe do it for half the price of $25,000? So many questions that could have been asked. Ms. Allen was the only one who sort of asked some questions, but she approved it as well. So six people said, yeah, that makes sense. Let's do that. Where are we going to get the money? You know, guys and girls, that we have safety cameras. The mayor was quite adamant in our spring State of the Village address that those cameras are there for safety. Safety, safety, safety. Not revenue stream, safety. Because we didn't pass that levy, we lost a couple of police officers, we needed to help supplement them and help them out. Made a lot of sense. But guess what? After 1 month of collections from these cameras, not even one full month, we have now got some kind of forecast that we'll have enough money that we can pay for capital improvements. Wow. Wow, it does turn out that our cameras are a revenue stream. Not, they're also a safety, but they're a revenue stream. Now, what happens when, on the next capital thing that we apply this revenue to, but then all of a sudden people get the message. They start not speeding anymore. We're not getting that revenue anymore. What are we going to do? We're going to have to drop that speed limit. We're going to have to drop that. We need that money. It's a revenue stream. All right. That's my point here. I just don't think we understand that we're broke. And so, I just want to say this last statement. I tried to make this point before. Most of the folks up at this dais have been here for at least 6 years, since 2011, so I don't want to hear any more about prior administrations. Don't want to see it, don't want to hear about it. This is it. The ball's in your guys' court. And this is what I want to know. Are we better off right now today with all of the great kumbaya that we got and all of the wonderful things that are in the pipeline? Are we better off today than we were 6 years ago? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, hold on, Mr. Stenham. I'd like to make a comment.
I would too.
You can make it under council comments, or you want to make a comment now? While you
I'd like to make a comment.
Your call, you're council members.
Okay. You know, Mitch, if I can get up a second.
Didn't comment, you'd be surprised. But, and I appreciate everything you said. The only thing, I just want to give the reason, at least why I gave one vote to that, because that's the part you left out. The mayor and council or administration, however you want to look at it, had an opportunity from Cuyahoga Heights. They will pick our kids up at that location if our kids go to Cuyahoga Heights, and we are getting more and more kids that are paying tuition to go to Cuyahoga Heights. This council's goal and this council's goal and this administration's goal for a long time, we know, has been to improve the school system. Okay, I don't think we have to debate that. Everybody knows we spent a lot of money to do that, and I think people's feelings today are we need to offer something to our young people when in regards to the school system, not only to retain them, but to entice younger families to come here. Mitch, you did mention this area. The thing was they want to be as close to Valley View as they can. That was what I understand part of the conversations. Now they turn around in that hub by Hub Park where that turnaround is in Valley View, they're willing to come up further. But our driveway doesn't accommodate them, and that was something they asked us. So to me, $25,000, and even if it seems rushed or whatever, we wanted to get it done before the school year, I feel it's very important to start building that relationship with Cuyahoga Heights, and maybe, you know, we're looking at other things there. So I myself, that was it might have seemed rushed. Other things we've been debating that have come forward to us, you know, those polls, we've debated those, even though some people feel we should do that, we're getting some free money. But because of just what you said, watching the purse strings, that was kind of an exception, I feel, what came before us there with the Cuyahoga Heights turnaround.
Mr. Stendhal?
Hey, Don, can I ask a question about that?
Yeah. However, yeah.
I know, but I'm asking, when you come up to the microphone and ask your question, but let these council members have their say so too, though, please. Thank you.
Mr. Stendhal, I did vote for that money. I have said in the past, too, that I feel the traffic cameras are a money grab, and I think that puts an impression that that's what they're for. It is being used for safety issues, to bring it into compliance, but when in less than a month we're dropping it from 15 to 12, I wasn't comfortable with that. I do understand that it's a safety issue, though, so how do I not vote for safety? I was given this packet of information when I sat down last Tuesday. I did ask, how come council knew nothing about that? You were there. I had to make a decision and already enroll my own son in high school. This would have been a huge playing factor to where my son is going to high school next year because of the transportation costs that I'm going to have to incur myself. I was also under the impression that the mayor said absolutely not at the village hall because I asked. And he said they would not do it at all at the village hall. That was a deal breaker. That's what I was told. I was told that in this packet, I've got all of the emails back and forth. I do, from what I can tell, from Mr. Tom Evans and from the mayor, and almost all of the meeting emails in here say my availability, so we can discuss this. This is my availability when we can discuss this. This is my availability. When we were talking about the number of school-aged children, I feel that I was misguided because I was told that we have 60 to 65 kids, and I was under the impression that that was what was going to Cuyahoga Heights, not total in the village. That split among different schools. And when I found that out a couple of days later, I was quite upset because my vote would have definitely been different. If I'm talking about 9 children, I would rather see somebody being used, of the village driver even, to take the kids to school and to pick them up at Cuyahoga Heights instead of paying $25,000 for a driveway. So I was very upset about that. Unfortunately, I found that out after the fact, and I do apologize to the residents for that.
Yes, sir, you want to make a comment?
I'm Scott Dingley. Live at 7215 Dunham Road. I've been there for, how long? 51 years? A long time. So, the question I have is about Cuyahoga Heights. Okay, I got 2 beautiful sons. The mayor here gave my youngest boy a proclamation from the city about his education coming from Cuyahoga Heights. Fantastic. I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm lucky with Carlene that they followed her steps, not mine. She's got the brains. Okay. But with there's just like you said, Mrs. Allen, there's 60 kids. Okay. Where's the money coming from? Is it coming from the city of Cuyahoga Heights? Is it coming from the school? Who's asking for this? Is Mr. Bocci asking for this?
For what?
I'm sorry. For the parking, for the turnaround.
The superintendent.
So the school is asking for that money.
They would offer transportation if we gave them a place to pick up the problem.
So is it the city or is it the school that is asking for that money?
They're not asking for any money. They're offering us free transportation service. The $25,000 is...
Well, they're asking for a parking lot. So they're asking for money to pave that lot.
We are asking our council to allow us to make the parking lot accessible for a bus to come off and on so we can have easier access and offer a transportation program for our children.
So the conversations are with the mayor or with the school board?
My conversations were with Tom at the superintendent.
Okay, that is my question.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you.
And the other mayors are aware of it as well.
Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me a second. Mr. Mason, can we turn that so the residents are actually addressing council and not just a little bit so we can see them because they're supposed to be here talking to us? Thank you.
Patty Allen, 6990 Walton Road. Yes, we did find out that there are only 9 children being transported. I would like to know why we have to spend $25,000 when the community center where they're going to be picked up is so close to Hub Parkway. If people are transporting their children to the community center, why don't they just take them a few hundred more feet down the street to Hub Parkway? And they can be picked up there and we can save $25,000. I'd like an answer, please.
Go ahead and ask. You got more questions? Go ahead and ask my questions.
The other question I have is, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I got a bill for my trash pickup. I also got a bill at an empty house for a trash pickup. I paid those bills, yet I'm hearing over and over from people that they never received a trash bill. And I'd like to know if these trash bills are being handpicked or why everyone didn't receive one at the same time.
The reason we discussed our community building over top of Hub Park is for climate weather and for the safety of the children and for that kind of drop-off and pickup. As far as the trash, I know we went through a mailing service, and I know there's been some other glitches in our mailing services, but we are resubmitting new data, and we're getting it straightened up. There is a letter coming out for next Monday to all the residents about the community building, about the Cuyahoga Heights school system, and informing everyone about the tuition and everyone about the drop-off and pickup. That's on Monday at 7 o'clock, and we're using the same mailing addresses that we've had. So I just think it was the same. We go through the journal, correct, Katie? The people who do our journal that mail to our businesses and mail to our residents, that's where our database is. Yes, Gloria.
I don't think it's very long. We might have to.
Thank you. Let's talk about the community center and the drive there. Not too long ago, there was a truck that came in to deliver something. It is too narrow for a big truck to get in there, and it turfed, if you understand the word turf, all the grass that was there. So that had to be fixed and, you know, replanted. They have weddings there and different things. They rent the hall, and different size trucks come there to deliver their goods for that. So it isn't just the school that is needed for a school bus. It's also needed for the other trucks that are there. And the mayor did say our service department would do the bulk of the work for the driveway that they could accomplish. So 25 was the amount that was recommended to do it. It may not even cost that. But it's not just for the school. And $25,000 is a drop in the bucket when you spent $500,000 over here to get out of the school, and the school spent $500,000 over there to get out of the school, and we're still in the school. So anything we can do to improve the relationship and get the ball rolling, because everybody in this room for years has said, what about the schools? That's the number one question that comes up. And the second one is Ford. But no one seems to be happy that there's a for sale sign on Ford now. You know, when they put the sign up, within a few hours, there were four organizations that wanted it. And a couple days later, there was 324 organizations that were interested in Ford. So things are going to change, and you're going to start seeing it. So worrying about a little driveway that could help us down the road, I think is well worth the money. Thank you.
Council, before we make any other comments, let's let the audience have their piece, and then we'll move on to council comments, so we can move on to our executive session. Okay. So anyone else have any other comments? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward, and you can come next in. State your name and address.
Murray Warrow, 18690. I was a teacher in primarily a Catholic school and also a private school. A lot of those students were driven by parents. I'm here to tell you, you need extra space for dropping off kids. You can't count on little kids walking exactly where they're supposed to go. They see their friends and their attention is elsewhere. I say we really need it for the safety of the children besides other reasons. That's all I have to say. Please consider it for the safety of the children. Another issue, if this works out, we're not going to have parents being worried about an alternative for their school, their children to go to. They have the opportunity to attend a parochial or a public school. It's something to consider.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes. Thank you.
Mrs. Wareham, the money was already voted on, so it's a done deal. so that's going through. One of the reasons is the safety of the kids, but that was my suggestion. We have an entrance at the village hall. We have a clearly marked exit. The kids would get right off at the sidewalk there. Parents could be parked in the parking lot. It's a central location in the village, easy access for everybody. That was my point. I did vote for it. We were told that we needed to vote on it immediately because this has got to get done before August 10th or August 15th when school starts. And for Cuyahoga Heights School, parents still have to pay tuition.
That's understood.
Well, I don't know that that is understood because some people are under the impression and have called me saying, this is great. We get to go to Cuyahoga Heights now. We're going to get them transported. It's not going to cost me anything. There is still tuition costs involved for the parents of these children.
Do you want to make a statement, sir?
My name is Tim Waddle, and I live at 7677 Dunham Road. My first comment is about the mask on. I want to talk to council about the mask on. My first question is, what's the difference in cost between cables and mask on?
$110,000.
So cable, the mask arms are $110,000 more. Okay, so my understanding is that the mask arms is an aesthetic decision. It was an option put out there for aesthetic purposes. Now, if you've ever paid any attention to that intersection, we got cables all over that intersection. So we're going to take one cable or a couple cables out, and we're going to put mast arms in there for $110,000. How many of you want to do that? How many of you would do that? That's foolish. The option shouldn't have even been presented to put those things up. And then I hear $30,000 in free money. Free money. Well, that's great. So we take $30,000 of free money, and then we still have to spend $80,000 for some poles. It doesn't make sense. When the village doesn't have money, and they're getting into our pockets, why do they want to spend $80,000 on some poles? I don't care. As long as it holds the lights up, I'm good with it. So I'd like to know, where does council stand on that?
I can
we're on second reading. We haven't passed it.
We have
we're
still
debating it.
It shouldn't even be a debate, ma'am.
Okay.
It shouldn't be a debate.
Well, everything is a debate, just like the chicken.
Okay, stop. Let me answer. He talked thing, okay?
Here's where, Tim, I want you to understand something. If the mayor didn't bring it to us, that would be wrong, too. That's the whole purpose. Anything out there should be brought to us. Why wouldn't it? That's our job. If somebody brings us something like that, it's just what you're doing right now. As a resident, you have a right to come to a meeting and say, hey, I disagree. I'm letting you know as my council representative, or you can call us, whatever you want, and say, hey, I disagree with that. We have Mr. Nowicki, who's been coming to ever since we talked about it, and says, I'm for it. I've had another resident who doesn't live far from me, because I'm probably the closest council person to those from where I live, saying we need them. My job is, since I represent everybody here, is to listen to both sides, make a decision based on the residents, or ask, and also our fiscal responsibility to the village. Because of that, it's been on second readings, and we haven't passed it. We're talking about it. But to say that it shouldn't be brought to us, I'll disagree with you there. Right. Because you have to look at the big picture. There's a lot going on there. If we didn't look at it and just close the doors, we wouldn't be doing our due diligence either.
Okay. So to that, I would like to add, I think we should hire some acrobats to maybe swing around on the lines, the cables that are there. I think that would be a wise decision as well. Why not put it on the table? We should put that on the table. So, next. I have to go back.
Mr. Will?
Yes.
Do you mind if I answer?
Sure, please.
So, the proposal was brought to us that, and I still haven't gotten clarification, and I still need to send an email to Mr. Mason, but I don't know the legality or the ramifications of a city or village borrowing money, essentially, Okay, Katie said it is, from a private entity. I said when I voted on the driveway last week that there's no way I'm voting for decorations. I was voting on the widening of the driveway because of the issue with the kids, things like that. I can understand that. I would want my child to be safe also, but I made no bones about it. It is not necessary at all to spend an extra $70,000 just for decorations to make something look pretty. If I don't have it, I don't have it, and it doesn't happen at my house.
Thank you. And I think beyond conversation with council, I think that people in the village should be taken into consideration because they're going to be the ones that are paying for it. So, and again, where's the money coming from? That's the question. Where is the money coming from? You know, I'm okay with the driveway thing. I think that giving people a better option for their children at schools, okay, it might bring some new people into the village that will have an opportunity there. I'll give them that. So I'm going to go my next point, May 2018. Walton Hills Journal. Here is a letter from the mayor, and I'm going to just read a paragraph here. Walton Hills leaders, including myself, want residents and business owners to know that we're always available to answer any questions or concerns you may have. We've never shied away from being truthful to you. Since I became the mayor, I've never dismissed any questions asked. Here's the one. It's not in my genetic makeup to be dishonest. That's something. I'm pretty sure that as humans, we're all dishonest at one point or another. And I'm not sure there's a DNA test to tell us whether or not we're liars. Last week, there was a question by this gentleman over here. I can't remember his name. And the question was, Mayor, did you say that you were going to resign? The question was never answered until Mr. Spitznagel brought it up again, and then it was addressed. So I'm not sure that those are truthful statements. And to that, my last question is, looking at some records here of traffic camera tickets, and I'm looking at people who came to their hearing. Some were found liable, some were found not liable, but they did show up to the hearing. At the end of this list I have here of paid citations, I have five people who didn't go to a hearing, yet paid $0 for that ticket. Victor Milani is one of them. I don't know if anybody knows who that is.
Don't mention any names.
I'm not really sure.
We don't like to hear any names.
Well, the name's on the list, ma'am.
Okay, the name's keep it for yourself. We don't.
Anybody else? Anybody else? We've got one opinion.
Keep
anybody
it
else?
That's not right. Treat it the same.
It's not right, but there's selective enforcement, man.
We don't like
that's where things aren't right.
Yes.
Because these people didn't show up to their hearing, yet they paid nothing for these tickets. And so, in the spirit of being honest and transparent, I'm going to ask you about that, Mayor.
Ask what?
Does anybody else know what I was asking?
I don't listen to those tickets. I don't do anything with those tickets.
You don't do anything?
No. So we have an outside
hearing officer. You're the magistrate.
No, I'm not. Not for the photo case.
Speak in the microphone, Mayor, please.
So for your information, I am not the hearing officer for photo cameras. We decided that when we brought in cameras. All council agreed to that. We cut my council, my mayor's magistrate, back to twice a month, and then we got a bombarding of tickets, so we went back to three times a month, and once a month is the traffic cameras. Sometimes I'm in the building, sometimes I'm not. Everyone is escorted into the council chambers, and then each individual one comes back either with their lawyer or with their information, and they sit with my police chief, and they sit with a hearing officer and another hearing. We have two people in training for hearing officers, and they go through the whole detail, and I don't sit in on those meetings. I don't know anything about those tickets. In fact, I don't even get a list.
So if I asked you to provide me with the information on who it was that waived these tickets and why they waived these tickets, because, I don't know, that's a pretty big name there. That's a pretty big name there on the bottom.
I'm sure that if the file might be entry in there as a reason why that was either dismissed or not dismissed. I do know that that gentleman has bladder cancer, and I do know that gentleman is not doing well at all. So I just want to say
up to speed.
It wasn't his, from what I understood, he wasn't driving the car, someone else was, but it's his car. So I don't know all the details.
Did you get the ticket then?
No, whoever owns the car, sir, that's the process.
Okay.
Whoever owns the car. If you're driving your mom's car, she gets the ticket.
So that's the out, is to say somebody else is driving?
No, it's not the out. Somebody has to answer for the ticket, period. So we're debating here, and this is not the format for that.
Well, I'm just asking for questions, for answers. You said that you don't shy away from answering questions, so that's why I'm asking you to answer these questions.
Well, I hope I answered your question. Any other questions or comments?
Sarah Blyman, 16883 South Meadow Park. I promise not to belabor anything. However, probably took about a 6-month hiatus from attending council meetings, so forgive me for not being completely up to speed. I am a firm believer that you need to invest in your community and the safety of children, so much to the extent that we had 3 giant sinkholes in our yard, and for a year and a half I had to come to council meetings to have any action or comments directed to my husband and I. My daughter, my beautiful daughter is outside and she is now safe because the project that took 3 years to get taken care of can enjoy her yard. And with all due respect, Don and Gloria and everybody else, it's frustrating and infuriating to hear, well, they should be grateful that there's a for sale sign in front of Ford. If you have any issue...
I never said that.
No, I'm saying Gloria did.
Well, Gloria.
I know, but I'll come to that point in a second, Don. So when you said that you guys are open to hearing comments from council or anybody, a year and a half...
No, I didn't say that. He did. That's in his article.
I know, but when you made a comment to that one gentleman...
Be specific.
Said,
if I made a comment, I will...
I will flatten myself and I will email you directly.
Right.
Oh, that's what you said. You said the residents can email and ask council any questions or concerns that they have. I'll ask for a recording and let you know, Don.
Yeah,
thanks.
That's fine.
So with that, be willing to invest a year and a half of your time if on your own property you have any concerns. Please invest in the village. It's a relatively young family. We do intend on staying. We were just notified today we will not be able to close out the project that was on our yard till the end of the year. So even if we wanted to choose to leave, we're tethered to that house. So thank you for that.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a comment. Just to clarify that, the issue in the yard was not as definitive. The thing is, and what we had to talk about, Sarah, which you know, and I don't want to get in debate with you because it's not about that. Is when we spend public funds on private property, it's tough because you can't, by law, we can't go into a private property and fix things even if we want to. We can't spend public funds. So certain people, individual situations, when something happens like that, we want to help and we have to look for avenues, and we were able to use the sewer project money, but we had to wait for that money and stuff, so it did take time. None of us wanted it to take that long, but that, I just want to do it, and I want to make that clear. It wasn't like we had control to fix it right away versus drag it out. It was the process, and a lot of times the processes move slow. It was about the funding of it, and it was a big project, and it was funding we had to wait for.
Can I comment to that, please?
Okay. Yes. Mr. Waddle, did you carry off my agenda? It's not up here.
And just to clarify that, and I could pull emails too, I wasn't prepared for that. Just some of the comments made me feel moved to speak. My understanding is those funds are still not available based off of what we've been told, and that's why we can't close out the project yet, because there's still not funds available for it. So I'll pull the documents. I'll follow up with you later this week. But overall, the morality of the community is discouraging, and I just wanted to make a comment. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other persons having business? Seeing none. Council comments, council members? Any comments? Yeah, you got the microphone right here. Jennifer, why don't you start it off and pass it down to the other comments, please?
Thank you.
Yes, I just want to let council know that under old new business, I will be making a couple of motions. Since we've discussed this several times about starting our meetings at 7 p.m. and about having our department heads at the meetings from now on so we could talk with them directly. Thank you.
No, I'm good.
Are you good?
Oh, go ahead. I will make a comment. Jennifer, to that, just so you know, if at the last meeting you said we were going to discuss it, okay, and if you make a motion and want us to vote on it, we're in the same position you were saying. Sometimes we need to talk about it. I hate to see it. We vote on it and it doesn't pass when we probably should talk about it. And the purpose is when someone has an idea, you want them to relay all the information or reasons why so you can get it passed if you so choose, if that's something you want. Because I'm open to it, but I might want to discuss it with everybody else.
Yes, and I wanted to make a comment in regards to a memo we received on the 12th from the mayor that there's been a change in the staff internally that you all may not know. Katie Iconis, our fiscal officer and clerk of council, was also the assistant to the mayor, and his memo states that he'd like her to use her talents and for the finance department. And going on, he's looking for us to approve a part-time person to fill in her place. Well, you can spin this however you want. In my opinion is that if you see a successful CEO, they hire the best and the brightest, those who can field the day-to-day operations, take the calls, make the answers, and handle everything while you're out on vacation or doing whatever it is your job entails. That's sitting right there next to us. I'm not going to vote, or I am not in agreement with allocating any more funds for a part-time person as his assistant, because there's no reason in my mind that she still shouldn't be doing the job. So with that being said, I'm sorry I don't agree with this, and I'm sorry this occurred.
Thank you. Thanks, Mayor. I'd like to address Mr. Waddle and Mrs. Blondin. Mr. Waddle, as far as the mast arms, you asked all of us what our positions are. As I sit here today, I'm not in favor of them. It's been talked about. They are aesthetic. It's a deal where, yeah, I appreciate the $30,000 from the Roxino or MGM, wherever that money's coming from. But if you don't have the rest of the money, it's like, thank you for your offer, but we don't have the rest of the money to do it if you'd like to do it. And that's an offer that I would like to extend to them if you would like to do it, because that is your gateway into your business. We will very much appreciate your gift and make all the announcements that you did it. So I'm not at this point in favor of those. As far as Mrs. Blondin, and speaking about the mayor bringing stuff to us, I want the mayor, any mayor, I don't care who it is, to bring stuff to us for our deliberation. That's what it's all about. He brings a lot of stuff to us, previous mayor did, and that's the way we deliberate things and research things, no matter how wacky it may sound at the moment. And believe me, we've had some wacky things come before us, too. But the day that any mayor stops bringing us things to consider is the day that that mayor has stopped doing his or her job. Mrs. Blondin, I'm not going to apologize to you for taking a year and a half or 3 years, whatever it was. I don't believe it was exactly 3 years, but I'm not going to apologize to you for that. You got your yard done. I had, in my research for that, I had witnesses telling me that yard was put in by the previous owner. So I had a very hard time after the information that I found. And quite frankly, if we wouldn't have had received money from the sewer district, I probably wouldn't have voted for it. To expend village taxpayers' money on private property. Yes, it was a severe issue. I have issues on my property too. And so does probably everybody else in here. You had sinkholes, I was there. Yes, it was a severe issue. But that's not, I have witnesses telling me that was not village's fault. And they told other people here too. We came to an agreement and we did it. All right, so it took some time to do, and we used the funds available to us to do it. It looks beautiful, it looks nice, and it's, most of all, it's safe. So I really don't know what you're complaining about.
Do I get to comment about that?
No.
No.
Oh, I do. I can comment to that too, because I drove by there in the last couple of days, and it looks beautiful, the work that was done over there on the Blondin property. I think to the tune of about $75,000 that the sewer district helped us with, by the way. I just have a couple of things. This thing of saying that the mayor doesn't keep promises and alluding to the fact that he might be fabricating things is sort of disturbing to me, because then it comes back to all of us, okay? And the accusation of the mayor not being truthful about something and not keeping promises over positions that he manages within the village, it's just too much for me. Because first of all, only council can make positions full-time, and only council can grant raises to people, okay? The mayor can only promise to bring to council, that's us, and we're the board of directors when we vote on these things. And he did this on several occasions. And I should have at the time disputed the accusation of abuse, but when the charge was made, but I'm doing so tonight because I can recall the mayor did bring council the question, and we council refused to even consider in a serious way making the recreation or any other position full time that really did not merit full time. Okay. I can recall myself knowing that to make this position full time would be difficult because of the lack of seasonal demands, particularly the winter months. I seem to recall others knowing that the winter months could stay in an as-needed situation, and I in particular strongly of this opinion as well. So anyone charging the mayor with lying or not keeping promises to bring the question is not being really accurate in what really happened. And this kind of conversation was brought to council on more than one occasion. On the education issue with Cuyahoga Heights, at the same meeting and earlier remarks, a member of council seemed to protest hearing about this initiative just 15 minutes before it was introduced on the issue. This thought, based on my history of the issue, is inaccurate, because this Cuyahoga Heights thing was happening quite a while ago, since we took that building over back there. I know it. There's been a lot of discussion this year about improving that so that there could be some kind of a central place to marshal kids together, make them safe, make sure there was an adult chaperone there to watch over them until they got on the bus and they'd have somebody there when they got off the bus. You can ask Brian about this, okay, because he's talked about it as well.
if we all took the time to engage the mayor with phone calls and questions, these issues might stick with members more closely. And I thank you for letting me speak tonight. Thank you.
I'd just like to address this to Mrs. Blonde, and since she mentioned my name, that I mentioned the Ford plant. Why I mentioned that was because there will be revenue coming in. Something right now, whatever's going to be there, whenever it's sold, the trucks will come in, and we will be getting money from those people, whatever they're going to do there. We don't know what they're going to build there yet, but whoever works there is going to be paying the village money. So it's going to be a turnaround. That's what I meant about the Ford plant. So thank you.
Thank you, council members.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Can I please have the microphone? We gotta be acrobats to do this.
Denny, you made a statement that you've been talking about Cuyahoga Heights and picking up kids since 2016. At last week's meeting was the first time I've ever had any information or been told anything about that.
Thank you.
Thank you, council members. The next item on the agenda is to go into executive sessions. I know that these two ladies asked to be discussed publicly. What they would like to say or what you would like to come forward and say. And you're more than welcome to each one come forward and ask any questions or say what you have to say. My reasoning for executive session is discuss personnel, not specifically to two individuals, and also to discuss economic development. We have some things going on that I need to inform council about that they will probably be voting on in the month of August. So I open the floor if you'd like to come forward and make a statement or if you'd like to say something. That's where we're at tonight. I do have the recreation and assistant recreation positions that I'd like to start posting that will be passed out in executive session, so you're all familiar with what we're advertising for. Both ladies have given us their resignations. We accepted them. And we'll be looking for a new recreation assistant and recreation director in the month of August.
Mr. Mayor,
so
we'd just like a point of order that council did not accept resignations from either employee. You accepted resignations from them.
That's my job. That's my job is to hire and fire and ask you and go through things with you. So do you ladies like to come forward and make statements?
Hello, I am Carlene Dean. I am the assistant rec director, or was, soon will be. I am here to give my rebuttal to the June 20th council meeting. On June 20th, I wrote Denny Linville an interoffice email and copied the mayor, Carol, and Carol, my supervisor. It was in regards to an incident on June 19th. Where Denny approached a 16-year-old counselor and two Parker girls that were sitting together on a bench at the lake and asked them questions. Initially, the questions were directed to the counselor about the Parker program, but then Denny continued on to ask them personal questions. He asked the counselor and the girls where they lived. The counselor said that she doesn't live in the village, but her grandma does. Then he asked her what street she lived on, the grandma. But the counselor said that she doesn't live in the village, but her grandma does. I'm sorry. Then he asked one of the Kirkparker girls, and she replied that she used to live in the village. Then Denny continued by asking what street she lived on. Now, mind you, Denny never identified himself. He never said he was a council person. He never even asked or told the girls or the counselor why he was asking these questions. And yes, you did ask the girls sitting with the counselor where they lived too. The counselor was so uncomfortable about the question about where her grandma lived that she lied. She did not feel it was necessary or she did not want to reveal that information. When in writing the email, I handled this professionally and appropriately. At the meeting that night, Denny asked why I didn't approach him about my previous problems with him. I did report my concerns in the past to Carol and the mayor, and when I was told by the mayor that you would be talked to about those issues. These were issues that have come up in the past. Some of them were last year at Community Day, and those items had been discussed with the mayor. Denny stated that as a councilman, he has every right to ask questions. But to my young staff and Parkers, no one person, council, mayor, or otherwise, should think that they can do whatever they want because of their political office. There are boundaries, and Denny crossed the line. I am sickened as to how this was handled at the council meeting. This was obviously a personnel issue that should have been discussed with me being present to defend myself and probably in executive session. The mayor and Denny were the only ones who had knowledge of this email prior to the meeting, and yet the mayor thought it was okay to let him continue. Don Colcraft did try to stop Denny, and the mayor stepped in and stopped Don. The mayor must have thought that Denny's behavior was acceptable because he later sympathized with him, saying that he has been falsely accused of many things. This was a problem that needed to be dealt with before bad things happened. We all read about these things happening. I don't understand why the mayor allowed him to speak. I was justified in sending the email. I am sure that many of the Parker parents would have a problem with Denny's behavior. If you don't believe me, just ask them. I've had a lot of rebuttal regarding what occurred. On Thursday, Carol and I received, this would be the Thursday after the council meeting, Carol and I received a very detailed memo from the mayor regarding this incident that requested a meeting with the two of us. Upon arriving, we were greeted by an outside HR rep, Clay Morris, and the mayor. We were questioned in depth about the timing and the reporting of the incident. We did nothing wrong, yet we were getting reprimanded. And the mayor, at this meeting with Clay, you said you tried to stop Denny from reading this email, but I listened to the recording and it says otherwise. The next day, Denny sent an email titled, Attempt to Smear Denny Linville, to me, council, and the mayor. I did not bother to respond. On June 28th, Carol and I had a meeting with the mayor and Mary Brenner. A memo was drafted by the mayor that discussed this event. This memo was to be reviewed by Bill Mason, then distributed to us and put in our file. I have not seen a copy of that yet. At that time, the meeting with Clay Morris was brought up. Mary was not told about the meeting. She had no idea that we met with Clay Morris and the mayor. Why wasn't Mary told? Actually, she should have actually been there, since she is the chairperson for the Recreation Department. Council people should be included in these matters. I have had nothing but respect for the council and the mayor. I have worked hard for this village and have been nothing but dedicated. But mayor, I feel that you have let me down as an employee and a resident. By the way, this whole matter, I feel, was handled wrong. Sadly, I have resigned. I have not resigned because of Denny. I have resigned on the way things have been handled. I have worked hard here for the last 14 years and have enjoyed my time here. I have worked with Carol to develop a great summer camp organize multiple community days, work together in many senior lunches and senior activities, and I made a lot of friends. But no longer. I will not go and play political games.
I'm sorry, Carol.
It's okay.
Can you have a moment? Mr. Mayor, you did allow Denny to read and continue to read his letter under objections of Council President Don Kolograph. I believe that most of the rest of Council was in total shock with what was being said at that time. So my question is to you, when Denny was able to make public his email, why wasn't Council copied and informed about meeting with Carol and Carlene with Clay Morris at any time whatsoever?
If you'll let Carol speak, then I'll answer your questions so Carol can speak her part too. Then you might have more questions, okay? And I can answer your questions.
Okay. All right. So my stories might be a little bit longer and I, as my children and husband say, I can kill a story. But anyways, I first want to say that I loved my job here for 13 years, and I truly respected the mayor, and I always believed everything he said, and I would put him on the list of the top 10 people that care about the village. And I speak truthfully. That's how I felt about him. I thought he and I had a good relationship, and actually later on I found out that the reason why I took so much of what happened to heart is because I thought of him as a friend. So, you know, it's different when your friend does something to you, I guess. But anyways, so my kind of story started, believe it or not, about 2 years ago. I was offered a job at a senior facility, and so I went into the mayor's office and I asked him. I told him that I was giving my 2 weeks' notice, and I think this was at the beginning of 2016. And if I knew, I would have wrote down dates and I would have had it all there. But I was living my life, and I didn't know I had to write down dates of everything. But anyways, I went to the mayor and I said, hey, I'm going to leave. And the mayor said, I think he really didn't want me to leave. And he told me to come back. And he would, I thought he was going to talk to council or whatever and come back and then we would talk. So I did that. I came back later in the day. And he asked me what I wanted. And I said, well, this place is offering me full time with benefits, $2 more. And I threw in, I wanted Carlene to have $1. Just saying. But anyways, now it's kind of funny because I did ask for full time and I did say I wanted benefits. But in my mind, I knew that there was never a full-time recreation person, and I knew I probably wouldn't get that. But I thought I'd, you know, try, you know. So I did try, but I knew I really wouldn't, even all along. Even back then, I knew I wasn't going to get it, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. So, but I did want my $2, and I did want Carlene to get a dollar. So anyways, so the mayor, when I went back in his office, he said he would give me $1 now and $1 at the end of the year, and he would work on council to full-time the benefits thing. Okay. So I was happy with, I said I'd stay with that. I wanted Carlene to get $1. I wanted myself to get $2. And if full-time happened, yippee. Because my husband was retiring, and you know what that means. But anyways, so time went on. I did get my first dollar. I did get that dollar, but I never got anything else.
And I would periodically go in the mayor's office and tell him, hey, remember, I still want that dollar. And he would say, well, I'm working on council, but, you know, what did you do to Don Cullagrath? Because he's pissed at you, and he doesn't like what you're doing right now. Or Brian Spitznagel, he's mad at you, and you did something to make him mad. And I would leave and say, what did I do to make them mad? I couldn't wrap my brain around what I could have possibly done. But it also made me a little alienated from them, because I felt like I couldn't go to them and say, what did I do wrong? I kind of separated myself from them. I have to say, he's never said that Gloria said anything bad about me or Mary, but they are two people that I have some dealings with, and so I maybe in conversation you guys would have said, hey, we're mad at you about something, but it was always the men. I don't know that Denny ever was mad at me, but he's mad at me now. Anyways, so all right, so time goes on, and I still every once in a while ask about it. And unfortunately, I did not have it in writing, because I thought he was a stand-up guy, and I thought shaking hands was the thing. I did one time have a meeting with Katie and Carlene, and we did talk about it, so they do know that it was there. And I did have another meeting with just Katie and the mayor and I, and we did talk about it, and so it was a verbal thing that they knew about. Okay, so now a year goes by, I never got that other dollar, and one day I find out that Nancy's great, she was made full-time and got, you know, benefits and stuff like that. I don't know if she even got a raise, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. So I went in, I didn't find out about it until later, a couple months, because I guess, I don't know, nobody told me. But I went in to confront the mayor, and I said, hey, you know, I still want to get my dollar in full-time and benefits, and I don't understand why Nancy got it and I didn't, since I've been here since 2005, and Nancy's just been here 2014. Okay, so the mayor told me that the reason why Nancy got full-time is because she came in his office crying and said she needed benefits for her disabled son, and she was raising him without benefits from her husband or her ex-husband, who would be the father of the disabled child. And am I missing something? And that she was crying and she needed help. So I left that office feeling sorry for myself and feeling sorry for Nancy, who has a disabled son that she's raising by herself. I don't know. Nancy and I really didn't have a big conversation. Our jobs don't go together. And, you know, besides saying hi or cute shoes, we really didn't say anything to each other. I thought she had a couple of sons, but I don't know, you know. So I didn't know. I thought she really had a disabled child. So, anyways, I felt sorry for Nancy, and, you know, life's hard sometimes. So I just went on. I was disappointed in that, and disappointed in the mayor, but I kept working, and went on. So anyways, in March, now I started writing the dates down. So on March 9th to the 14th, I went out of town. And when I came back on the 15th to work, I walked into the village hall and I felt something going on. Something's going on. And I asked Lisa, what's happening? And she told me that Vic was fired. Vic Nagallo, the finance
tax
guy, thank you, was fired. And I was, oh my gosh, I liked Vic and I thought he did a great job, and I couldn't imagine why he would get fired. He was going to be retiring, I didn't know. But anyways, so Vic comes out of the mayor's office and leaves. And so I didn't understand what was going on there, because I kind of was out of town and really didn't know. But when I heard that Vic, when Vic left, he said something about rumors, so I didn't really know what that meant. But on the 19th, the next Monday, I heard from Katie, that there were rumors that supposedly I, me, and Vic started. And I was like, rumors? Rumors about what? Who, what? I don't know. Katie tried to tell me that there was some rumors that I supposedly started. And that rumor was that the mayor and Nancy were having an affair. Now, would I ever say that rumor? Hell no. Would I ever think that rumor? Hell no. I never thought that rumor. I never said that rumor. I have respect for the mayor and I have respect for Nancy. I would have never, ever said that. Ever, 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 ever. Okay, so I left the village hall, went down to the center, and I'm like, well, maybe I heard that wrong. Maybe it's I'm trying to make sense out of it. I don't know. So I got to the office, and I called Katie, and Katie said, yeah, that the mayor told Nancy that I was saying a rumor that he and she were having an affair. Okay. So I said, I'm calling Nancy. I can't deal with this. I was mind blown. I was hurt. I was humiliated. I thought, oh my God, people are going to hear this and think it's true that I would say something like that. I was so embarrassed and I was so, I can't even tell you all the emotions I was feeling, but I was feeling a hell of a lot. So I called Nancy, I put my big girl panties on, and I called her up and I said, Nancy, I would never, ever say something like that about you and anything about the mayor. I would never do that. And so Nancy and I had a conversation, and it came out that I said that she went in the mayor's office and was crying and had a disabled son. And Nancy said, I never went in the mayor's office crying, and I don't have a disabled son. And I didn't need benefits because I had them through my husband, and my sons had them through their father. And I didn't need it. And so all of that wasn't true. So for almost 2 years, I was thinking all kinds of things. I mean, I put myself down because I wasn't good enough, okay? I ended up going to a psychiatrist, seriously, and I'm okay with saying that because I felt like I wasn't good enough for any of that. And I couldn't believe, why would somebody that I had so much faith in and trust in would say that about me? I have no idea, but it hurt me tremendously. Okay. Okay. All right, so I tried to make sense out of it, which I can't. And one day in Katie's office, Phil Mason was in there, and Carlene and I happened to be at the village hall. So we went and approached Phil Mason and said, listen, we don't understand. Why did the mayor say these things that weren't true and put my name on them and put Vic's name on it? Why did he do that? And Mr. Mason said he didn't know. He never heard of anything like that before, actually, and he said he would look into it. I believe that's what he said. Okay, and so we thought, okay, we're going to get help. We're going to get answers. We're going to get somewhere. And we left Katie's office. So on the next day, April 3rd, that was on April 2nd when they talked to Mr. Mason. On April 3rd, Mr. Mason called me up in the office and said that the mayor wanted to talk to me and he wanted to make things right. So I was excited about that. I thought, okay, I don't know what he's going to say, but, you know, that would be okay. So I got here, and I grabbed Nancy, and I said, we're going in his office together. And we went in together, and the mayor said that we did not do anything wrong, and that... might get a little mixed up here. Okay, he said that we were both good workers and did a good job and we did nothing wrong. And I said, yeah, we didn't. And I got a little flippant, sorry. But he also said that Vic Nugalo started the rumors. Nancy first said, hey, I didn't come in your office crying and I don't have a disabled son and they don't need benefits. And he said, well, and we're not having an affair. And Vic, the mayor told us that Vic Nugalo was the one that said the rumors. He said he didn't say me, but Nancy told me otherwise. Okay, so I know. Am I like losing everybody? Okay. All right. So I asked the mayor why he said that, and he said he blamed it on Vic about three times. Blamed it on Vic. Well, Vic got fired the week before, so Vic's not here to defend himself. So I just finally said, all right, if Vic said it, why did you get up and go tell Nancy that rumor? You knew it wasn't a true rumor. You should have brought, if you thought Vic really started it, you should have brought Vic in and reprimanded him. And if you thought I did it, you should have brought me in and reprimanded me. And instead, I heard nothing. And I didn't say anything anyways, but it wouldn't have mattered. But the mayor did say he was sorry twice, I believe. And then Nancy said, what can I do? What can you do to fix it? And he said he would write us an apology letter. So I said, okay, I could deal with an apology letter. I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all sometimes lie across from a Bible on their desk. But I got a letter from the mayor, and it doesn't apologize, which I kind of understand because you wouldn't want that in writing that you did that. But it just tells me that I'm supposed to go to him if I hear false rumors, and that we are good employees, and you know we acknowledge we had discussion. I guess that's pretty much it, and that we're positive employees and that kind of thing. So it really didn't say I'm sorry for saying that things I said about you and Nancy. So that was a little discouraging because I really, really had kind of like, gee, I hope he does make it better. But instead, he didn't really acknowledge it, and it made me feel, left me feeling not good. So that's kind of my story. And you heard about the thing with Mr. Linville and his stuff and how that was handled with us. So with all of that, I just felt like I had my share of stuff. So that's my story.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
I was going to say, who wants to start?
It was after yoga in April.
It was in April
that you asked to speak with me.
Yes, I did.
Carlene alone.
Yes,
and that's when I became aware of everything going on, and I can't tell you how upset they were and how upset I was. And you promised yourself, because you told me.
I did.
You made a promise to yourself, because I kept saying, "Hang in there, it'll get better," because I didn't want her to go. And it didn't get better. And she said, if he locks one more time, I'm going to resign. And here we are, unfortunately. But there was nothing I could actually do about it, even after I knew about it. This is run like a business. And I could just empathize and try and tell everybody to be strong and positive and do a good job. And unfortunately, it came to this.
Thank you, Mary.
Sarah.
Carol and Carlene, thank you for being strong enough, for telling the truth,
I know it takes a lot out of you, and Carol, I know you had a hard time last week. One question that I have, Carol, because Mary just said that you were told if you were lied to again.
I said if I have one more lie, I have to leave.
Okay. Yeah. So was this the last lie, or has there been more things since then?
Well, there has been a couple things, but, you know, I just said when I went to, actually was in the meeting with Clay, and I had said, you know, in here, if I hear one more lie, I can't stay anymore. I can't do this anymore. And when we were in with Clay, the mayor said that he tried to stop Denny from reading Carlene's letter. And I had already listened, we had both listened to the tape already, and we knew that the mayor didn't try to stop it. And so that was like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Yes.
I already knew that didn't happen.
Yes, during that meeting, a point was made that the mayor said it's up to Denny if he wants to read it. He can go ahead and read it. That was his right to.
In our meeting with HR, he said he tried to stop Denny.
There was no trying to stop that reading in the letter, only by Mr. Kohlendorf at the time.
Yes, we heard.
Brian, you said you wanted to speak. I need a minute to try to get my thoughts together here. I'm sorry.
For the clarification of Mr. Linville, before the meeting started, him and I had a discussion of the memo, and we were trying to stop him from doing it. And he insisted he wanted to read it publicly. And anybody who knows Mr. Linville, you can't stop him. So at the meeting, I didn't want to argue and turn into debate.
No,
it's your board.
But I thought you were the mayor who could stop Mr. Linville from doing that. And, you know, everything else is ready to go to executive session. You know, why wasn't that? And at the end, then, you even said you sympathized with him by saying, I understand about getting out in front of false rumors because it happens. It's happened to me. You're saying it was okay for him to do that.
The mayor actually said that you're in good company because I'm a womanizer and have 15 illegitimate children and things like that at the meeting.
Mr. Spitznagel, did you want to say something? Go ahead.
Mayor, as I've stated all along, I have a right to defend myself. And that's what I'm going to do. I was at the park that day. I was there with my grandson because I had to be there, otherwise he couldn't have gone down there swimming. Okay? I'm a 77-year-old grandfather. I've lived in this village now 41 years. And what the letter that memorialized that word that I find repugnant myself was cast on me by Ms. Dean, okay? And I was not going to take that. I simply would not take that, okay? Because, first of all, the question I asked a young lady, she's an attractive young lady, too. I'll give her that.
Oh, my God.
Address the people you're talking
about.
My next question had to do with the program, then went on, how many kids are here from the park? And that was the only two questions I asked.
I'm talking about a minor.
And that was all that I asked.
Mr. Linville, please have a seat, sir.
What in the world's wrong? Kevin, did you run a meeting?
Yes, sir.
What in the world's wrong? You know, this place... I'm going to tell you right now, I live at 727 Moncali Boulevard. Been out here a long time. Haven't come to a lot of meetings. But tonight, this is a special meeting. I happen to show up at the right meeting. You know, you've got the council people are who they are, and buck stops with you. And you know what? You're a tapeworm in the community. You're eating this place up from the inside. That's what you are. You can't control anything. So I think the best thing for you, you did say you were going to resign, if you were a man, August 1st.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
I came to this meeting not too good of a mood to begin with, and now I'm really in a bad mood. I've heard things going on with some employees and things like that. And I wrote down some questions for Carol and for the mayor, just to clarify some issues, because what I think is going to happen, which is totally unverified, is something that I don't want to happen in the village in the form of legal ramifications. But this is an open meeting, and I'm going to ask my questions openly. Mr. Mayor, did you ever tell Carol or Carlene that I was mad at them?
To be honest with you, I don't remember. I know we were discussing the transportation. We were talking about taking that out. I know that we were talking on the budget about other issues with recreation. If you remember, we raised the rates,
yes,
and we invited them to the meetings. Those were some heated conversations at public meetings that were, they were not there, but you were there, and you remember we were debating the budget.
Yes.
So those are the conversations that I remember, that you were very angry with the recreation department with regards to the budgeting, you know, raising rates or whatever the percentage, if you remember.
I remember clearly I was never mad at Carol.
Never at Carol herself, no, sir.
No, and I was never mad about any instance. For the record, I did bring some, when we were discussing the budget, I did bring some cutbacks in the form of cutting back some service department people.
Yes.
Raising rates in the rec department, but I was never mad about anything. And so I don't know where you got that from, but I was, just to clarify that, I was never mad at Carol or Carlene.
I knew that you had those questions because actually we were at that council meeting. And I know all about that, and I don't take that as you were being mad at me that day. I was told this, like, you know, I've been told that for 2 years. For 2 years, you know. It's usually Don that I piss off for whatever reason. I don't normally say piss off, but that's what the mayor said it. Don's always pissed off at me because something I did, although I don't ever remember what I could have possibly done.
Carol, since you brought it up, I'm going to ask you,
yes.
And you can tell it's none of our business, but you brought it up with psychiatric help.
Yes.
You felt that you needed psychiatric help because of, and I want to be very clear with this, because of the events in your life or because of what was happening here?
Because what was happening here? What was happening here? I thought I was a good employee. I thought I did the job well. I thought I was appreciated, but yet I'm being told differently. The way I work, I put myself down to justify Nancy getting a raise and not me, or full time and not me. So I had to, I like in my brain put myself down to accept that I'm not good enough to get what she got. Now, it's a weird, probably not normal people think that way, but that's how I think. Tell them about the hives. Oh my gosh, I had hives for... I have hives, yeah, I had some the other day. Because of the stress for the past year, I break out in hives. I got pictures on my phone. It's crazy. I mean, huge things.
Internally and externally.
And from her nerves. Yes. And that's in regards to...
You mentioned Nancy. Is Nancy here?
Yes.
I don't know. Okay, there you go. Hi, Nancy. I don't know if you want to speak at all, but do you have a disabled child?
We do not.
You do not? Did you tell anybody that Nancy had a disabled child?
No, I do not remember saying that. I said when we had our conversation that I asked Nancy to be first full-time because Jane DeWicke retired in January of 2016, and then we promoted Nancy to full-time to pick up where Jane had left off. That's the dates that I have.
Okay.
And we had full-time clerks before, except we were only focusing on clerks at that time. Clerk of Courts. We made Nancy do building department, and we also make her do stuff in the fiscal office.
As a matter of, and we are not, I'll make it clear, council is not administration. Residents call us all the time wanting us to do things and, whatever around the village. And I always tell residents that we can ask politely, but we don't have the authority to order anybody to do anything. With that in mind, but as we sit here, and we're hearing this stuff, we do have a responsibility to the village to make sure, you put us here to make sure that the village is run correctly and run fiscally sound and run appropriately. Before, Carlene mentioned these the email that she sent to you and Mr. Lindell. Prior to that email, she said something about this was not the first event. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I want to get into what the event was or what. But was there action by you or anybody else in the office on that?
Yes, sir. Mr. Linville was passing out campaign literature at the senior lunch. Mm-hmm. Mr. Linville, Mary Brenner called me and said, did you know this was going on? Because Carol reached out to the council liaison and not me. Mr. Linville and I had a conversation and asked him not to pass out any more campaign literature. There is no ordinances, and we all know that's First Amendment right. Mr. Linville was counting how many seniors at a senior lunch. This was about a year later. We asked him not to do that any longer, and he quit doing that. Because he would go to senior lunch, but he wouldn't eat lunch, and he wouldn't intermingle. He would just count for the program reasons.
Right.
Same thing at the park. He was up there walking and counting how many kids were participating in the park and how many Parker program counselors we had. And each time it was brought to my attention, each time it was addressed. I do have some notes about it. I do have conversations with Mr. Linville, and Mary Brenner knows as well that I've addressed it each time it's been brought to my table. Carol said she did not know that I had been addressing it. I never referred back to Carol to say that I had addressed it, but I did address it because the issue disappeared. But then every 8 to 10 months, something would happen, and I would have to, start to address it.
Mayor, I vote on all that stuff.
I know you do, sir. I know you do.
Excuse me, but Brian,
we don't want,
address counselors,
yes,
at Community Day.
That was another
reason. Most of them under 18 years old, asking them where they lived. And again, the counselors were inclined to lie because they weren't sure
I asked if she lived in the village.
We're talking about a community day.
Okay, we're not going to...
We're talking about community day.
Let's have an organized meeting.
Let's try to have an organized meeting, and when you're addressed, you can ask your questions. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, where did the rumor start of sexual misconduct? Where did that rumor start?
I was confronted by a former employee on the statement that why is this one full-time and not that one full-time? And then there was conversations of what is going on? Are you paying more favoritism to this one? And without going into great details, I just said, you're crazy. Why are you even making an accusation? I said, one employee doesn't have anything to do with the other employee. As far as the recreation, at those times we did ask you as counsel in executive session. We do not discuss executive session publicly. We asked for raises and we asked for full-time positions each and every time that I was expressed to do that to you.
Well, I'll make something clear on that. Yes, we did in the budgetary process go over everybody's rate of pay. But I'll be clear, as Carol states it, I was never approached by anybody saying, you know, I promised Carol this, so we should do this, and this is why. So I want to make that clear.
Yeah, Mr. Spitzenegel, if I could read something real quick.
Oh, go ahead. I
promised Carol I would approach counsel, okay? In 2011, Carol was made full-time, and she had went to $18 an hour at that time.
Not full-time?
Not full-time, I apologize. She was promoted to recreation director. If you remember all of 2010, the recreation director left, and we didn't have, as counsel, have authority to make her recreation director. In 2011, we appointed her to make her recreation director at $18 an hour. Then in 2012, it went to $19 an hour. In 2014, it went to $21 an hour. In 2015, it went to $22 an hour. There were merit raises in 16 and 17 of 2% because that's all we gave our police officers on those years. And that's where it's at. And right now, the current hourly rate for Carol is $22.89. And that's what the council has allowed us. Our ordinance says... I think $18 to $23 an hour is what it says. And that's where all this structure came from. And I think, and I don't swear by the dates, that 14 is when she had a full-time offer, because it was January we gave her another dollar. I believe that's the way the numbers work out. But I could be wrong on the dates.
No, you're probably right.
Because it shows on my paperwork that each year you got a dollar, but then since the last 2 years, you've only got 2%, 2%.
Yes, 2%.
But that's all the employees have gotten.
Yes.
And at that same time, Carlene went from $13 to $14, then to $15, and then she only got 2%, 2%.
When you were told by a former employee about a sexual misconduct with
accusations.
Did you keep that to yourself, or did you tell
Obviously any
other employee
not.
About that rumor?
And
what I'm getting at is, if you did, I'll let you answer, but if you did, that is completely inappropriate as an administrator. It should have stopped in your office.
Correct, it should have.
So did you or did you not?
I did approach the employees and said that there's been false statements made, and then when that employee no longer was there, this exploded and went to the next level. It was never repeated after the first time it was repeated by that employee, but then it's grown to this story as we have right here today.
Does Carol and Carlene, is there an atmosphere at Village Hall? And I'm asking this because we're not here today. We don't know. But we know what we hear, and I know it's basically your word against the mayor's at this point, and I understand that. And I can pass not pass it off flippantly. I don't want to give you that impression as a disgruntled employee or disgruntled employees. What I need to do, what we need to do, is see if there's some sort of systemic problem here with the employees and the administration that we need to fix. And quite frankly, we need to fix before somebody fixes it for us. And did you want to talk? While you've been working here, you've mentioned the atmosphere, your stress, you're under stress. Do you see that with any other employees?
Oh, I'm sure so. Definitely. And I want to say, there was something I wanted to say. You know, it's not even the point of that I wanted the full time. I mean, I asked for it because you do that. But I knew I really wasn't going to get it. And the money, I was saying, I put it out there because that's what those other people were offering me. And maybe I would have left. If he would have said, Carol, we can't give you that. I might have said, you know what? I think it's my time. I need to go there. But instead, I got a promise that I was going to get that. Okay? That's what I based it on. I said, all right, I'll stick around because I'm going to get that other dollar. And it'll be good. And I'll be happy with that. I never really want to have full-time, believe me. Anyways, that being said, yeah, sometimes I get very stressed when I go to a staff meeting and somebody else in the staff meeting is getting yelled at in front of me. I don't like that. I don't think that's the place you do it at. You don't go to a staff meeting and degrade somebody in front of me. The first time it happened, I seriously wanted to get up and leave. And I couldn't understand. I thought at a staff meeting you talked about stuff. You didn't degrade somebody or yell at somebody. When I left, I was confused. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening here? That one day we all got yelled at about the swearing in thing. We all got yelled at about that, but. I think when people are going to get yelled at, and maybe this is for your reference, down the road, is that when you want to reprimand somebody, you do it in private. I don't want to hear about somebody else that my fellow employees that I all think do a wonderful job get yelled at in front of me.
What do you mean yelled at?
Reprimanded for a job.
I raise my voice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Mr. Mason, meetings.
I'm sorry, but I think he does. I think it makes me embarrassed.
Remember that bill? Can he raise him up?
He's never yelled.
I'm
going to move on here and let other people ask questions.
She wants to say something.
Okay, hold on. I just want to say that as I'm just sitting here now, I don't know if there's... Mayor, I don't live in a vacuum, and I hear rumblings, but that's all they are at this point. And I really truly believe that we need somebody to come in here, a third party, unbiased company that has no allegiance to you, to us, or anybody. Come in and say, and do an audit of the employees and say, this is what's happening, this is what we need here, and these are the types of things managerially we need to implement. And whether that's a third party arbitration outfit, I don't know. But I think that's what we need. Before something bad happens in the form of a lawsuit, because that's where I think we're headed with the employees. Because from what I've heard, and I cannot substantiate this, employees from pretty much every single department are upset. And I don't, we need to get to the bottom of it.
I am looking at municipal LML about an outside source to come in and audit all the HR files and to make recommendations, because no one on council wanted to support Clay Morris, but that was the whole reason I even talked about Clay Morris coming in. So we are looking at another resource, and that's being discussed as I am talking.
Hey, Brian,
the
question I have is, Mr. Mason,
you gotta have
a microphone and format and everything else.
But since it's her husband, isn't he allowed to be a part of it?
It's an open meeting. Mr. Dean, if you would like to come forward to the microphone.
Well, we're kind of past the...
Mr. Mason, how many times have you gone to a staff meeting?
He's usually there.
Every staff meeting?
Maybe one or two.
Okay.
I
didn't know if it was a council meeting or a staff meeting.
Carol, you know that I did come to you before budgets. I talked to you for a few minutes just about pay. You had told me about the extra dollar and wanting the extra dollar. And when we had the budget meeting, I brought that up. And we could afford Mayor's Court four times a month, but we can't afford an extra dollar for Carol. And we had an employee that was being promoted, well-deserved with his promotion, but we couldn't afford an extra dollar for Carol, the only female department head, the only one that's kept it part-time, which bothered me then, and it was brought up in a meeting. A little background, several months ago, I emailed questions in that a resident was asking me, and I was answered by the mayor in an email telling me I'm not to ask, not to be speaking to the residents, they should just be referred to his office. I sent several questions to Katie and Rob Coleman about things going on at the community center, and the response from the mayor was, I'm not supposed to contact the department heads, only him, and he will answer the questions. The director's report that we got last week says from the mayor, should any of you have any question, then please contact me and I will provide you with the answers. This is on the director's reports. So my question to you is, have you ever been told not to come to council?
Yeah, I have been told. Carly has been told also not to come to a council.
Do you know why?
We usually don't, because I used to have to go to council meetings, years ago, but then we stopped doing that, and which was fine with me, because that was nerve-wracking. But the meeting that was, I had to have my budget pages. And I came, and then we decided to stay because, A, we're both residents, and, B, our department was going to be discussed.
It was our budget.
We raised all the rates 20% or whatever.
Exactly,
yes.
And community. And I was, afterwards, the mayor said that we should not come to council.
My suggestion was, as you come to council meetings if you want to, but it's going to be dragged out longer if you want to come. That's exactly the way I said it. But the point that I'm trying to get across here is it was voted on by council in 2011 to do the format that we do right now. And at 6 o'clock was also voted on by council. The mayor did not set those agendas.
I never said you did.
Well, I'm just trying to clarify. That's why we have the reports and things.
Carlene, to your knowledge, and you don't need to specifically name, but have any other employees of this village been directed and told not to go to council with anything?
I don't know.
Have you ever had your job threatened?
No, not really. I can't say I have. I can't say that I've been told. No, I don't think I have. If I have, I don't remember.
Okay. Is Mr. Nagalo still here? And Dick, would you be willing to come down?
Good evening. I don't want to be here, but I am here for Carol and Carlene and the rest of the staff. Thank you.
Mr. Nagala, do you know anything at all about these rumors that are being told?
I think there are several rumors. Carol touched base on a few. I just want to go back on my dismissal. This is back in the middle of March. I did put in my resignation back in November that I was going to leave after tax season. I think it was dated May 4th of 2018. The mayor accepted my resignation. I wanted to see our new person, Angela, through the income tax department, make sure it's in good hands. O21 taxis. That was very vital. I've been here over 10 years. It wasn't all about the money. I took a big pay cut going from Lakewood to here. Just wanted to get away from the politics of Lakewood. And it's very hard for me because one of the first letters I got when I came here was from Councilman Hurst at that time. And the first few years of when he was mayor, again, we were good friends, as Carol says, with the mayor and all that. So, but being a fiscal officer all these years, you're between a rock and a hard place. You're serving council and the mayor. It's just a tough situation, and you want to be honest as much as possible. And that's one of my setbacks, is being too honest. But man, I'm not 100% honest, but yes, whatever. So be that as it may, I had lunch with Councilman Spitznagel earlier that one week, March or whatever, and he asked me, it was still budget season, he asked me how to, where we could cut the budget. I said, what frustrated me, and I was here since 2006, at that time we had a $10 million balance. $10 million, all our funds, $10 million. I don't know what our balance is now, less than a million, whatever. And it's not the fault of, Ford used to bring in $1.5 million a year. I mean, that's pretty big. But anyway, we're in a situation like back in 2006, we had 15 full-time police officers. We're down to 10 full-time police officers as of last March. But the one department I looked at was service. Service had 8 full-time personnel back in 2006, and there's still 8 full-time people there. And I thought we could have taken advantage of certain people leaving and all that, but we didn't. So when Councilman Spitznagel asked me where we can save the budget, I mentioned 2 hotspots. One was in service. Why do we need all these full-time people? We don't need them. I mean, I work now at the City of Olmsted Falls, larger, bigger. They don't have as many full-time service workers, not even as many full-time police officers. So I mentioned that, yeah, in service. And the other one I mentioned was the mayor's court. I didn't believe, and I respect Nancy. Nancy knows her skill level and all that with mayor's court and all that. I mentioned, why do we need a full-time mayor's court clerk? We only need a part-time person. And especially with Carol asking all those years, being wanting to be full-time. So Mr. Spitznagel took that, and promptly the next council meeting mentioned, I think, both items. And
a few more.
And a few more. And I believe I was confronted on that Thursday. Did I speak to you? The mayor confronted me and wanted to sit down and talk to me and said, did I speak to you? And I said, yes, I did. And did you mention about the mayor's court? I don't know the exact words of the conversation, but did I speak to you about the mayor's court? Should be part-time? I said, yes, I did. And I also mentioned about the service department that it shouldn't be as many full-time people. And Katie was in the office. She was our third person in the office at that time. So he knew I was resigning in May, and it was still middle of March, and basically told me to keep my mouth shut till I left in May. And that just triggered something in me because I heard all about all these rumors, not just the ones Carol mentioned, but several others. And I basically said that keeping my mouth shut, I think you should keep your mouth shut. If either you started these rumors or if you heard these rumors, you as a manager should stop it right there and confront the individuals and stop right there. Or if I did them, then you should, this, I didn't even say that, but basically that's what I said. As a manager, you shouldn't be doing that. I've been 33 years in government. I've had classes on sexual harassment, not just sexual harassment, all the other with ethnicities and all that. So I know my place pretty much in not just in the governmental setting, but any workplace setting, even at home too. So my red flag is throwing away on that. So with that, the meeting was over. After I basically told the mayor, and I shouldn't have, to keeping his mouth shut too about the rumors, and if he didn't start the rumors, if it got to him, he should stop it as a manager and address it promptly. The next day I was working in Olmsted Falls. I got a call from Katie that her doors are locked. I can't get into my office and I should meet with them Monday morning. And then so subsequently I met with him Monday morning and that was it. I was he was gracious enough to let me stay till April 1st. I had health care through April and that is it. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm retired. I'm in a better place. But I do love Bald Hills. I really, and he's a good guy. I've worked for many mayors before they're mayors. They're different people. They become different as through the years when they as they serve as mayors, and then after they're no longer mayors, they come back to earth and they're back to being themselves. And I really do think we need to address this. So. I'm his friend. If he needs my help, anything. But I also am a friend of these two ladies and the rest of the staff. It is a hostile work environment. I don't know if you're aware of what everyone's talking about, but I'm getting the calls, and it's just not the ladies. Also, you have a lot of other employees, but there needs to be, and I like that, a third party coming in here. I don't care what the cost is. You can't afford lawsuits, and these are lies. You got parents of employees here. They don't want to see their kids going through this. So with that, hopefully I answered your question.
Yes, Mr. Goodmanow, I ask you directly, did you start any rumors about the mayor and Nancy?
No, and when I heard it, and that, I think the rumor was that I said it, then it was stated to somebody else that somebody else said it. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I have not started any sexual rumors. No.
Okay. Wonderful. Oh, just one other question I have for you, if you don't mind. Was it your own choice to resign early, or were you asked to resign early prior to your original exit date?
When I made the decision in November, we just hired Angela, who had the expertise in income tax, still hasn't gone through a tax season. I've been here 10, 11 years. I'm retired. It's time for me to move aside, step aside, and let somebody take over. I still wanted to continue maybe 8 hours a week, even after I left in May, just to make sure of all the different questions I would be answered. I mean, I've got a lot of institutional knowledge here to find out. I still answer phone calls and try to help out the village as much as possible.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions, council members? I'd like to go into executive session. Yes, Lori.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say to Carol and Carlene, I enjoyed working with you. I thought you did a good job. Okay. Mr. Linville, why didn't he say to the girl, I'm a council person? It might have made all the difference in the world. Now we're thinking all this crazy stuff. Things weren't handled correctly, but I don't think anybody did anything. I like the idea of someone coming in for management. I don't know of a better family man than our mayor is. He loves his wife. He loves his grandchildren. And rumors fly in this village, believe me. Yes, Carol asked for a raise. I was there. No, she didn't get it. Nobody got a raise. How are you going to give one person a raise when this whole village didn't get a raise and we were laying off police officers?
Oh, they don't have a raise. I do have to say something.
It wasn't the mayor's choice. He had to come to us. We were the ones that handled the money. He can bring it to us, but we make the decision. Nobody got any raises. We were running on a tight budget. There was no one was going to be paid full time and have to, you know, another $13,000 for benefits plus a dollar doesn't seem like much, but I think a lot of things were mishandled. I don't think anybody is really at fault. I'm sorry the two of you resigned. I'm really truly sorry, but that's your choice if you feel that way. I know the mayor. I know it's just a rumor, and I hope when you leave here, it's just a rumor, and it isn't blown out up into something that's, you know, shouldn't be. He's a good mayor. He's done a lot for this village, and he will continue to do a lot for this village. And I think, you know, we'll see. Get a third party in here, because we do not have human resources here. So that's the person you would go to, and you would bring it to council if you wanted to do something. Carol, you had a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that when I asked for the raise, it was 2015. It wasn't like yesterday I'm asking for a raise. And if he would have said to me, we can't give it to you, I probably would have said, okay, it's been fun, I'll go to that other job. Or who knows, maybe I would have said, I love my job, I'll stay here and toughen it up, or whatever. Who knows what I would have said, but I didn't get that option because I heard, all right, you got it, we're going to keep you here, and you're going to get a dollar now and a dollar at the end of the year. That's the promise, and that's my thing. If he would have honestly said to me, we can't give it to you in 2015, you know, I would have, like I said, made another decision, or I would have stayed, or who knows what I would have done. I didn't get that option because I was told the promise, and I held on to that promise. The second thing is that the mayor's not having an affair with anybody, so don't say that. But the thing I have an issue with is that, where did the rumor start? It didn't start with me, and it didn't start with Vic. I'm sorry. I think somebody here started that rumor for whatever reason. I don't know, but I didn't start it, and that's my thing.
Well, rumors are a horrible thing. People tend,
yeah.
You say it loud enough and long enough, and people begin to.
Well, I didn't want anybody to think that I really said that, or
okay.
I don't even think it.
No one's accusing you of that, Carol.
No, but I was accused.
Can we have a motion to go into executive session?
I just want to say one thing.
Carol, I just want to say I know you're upset about that money issue, but from where I'm sitting, the money issue is not the important thing.
No, not really.
It's all the other stuff that's been brought up tonight, and all this, all the other stuff.
Honestly, I asked for it in 2015, and I'm still here, right? What does that say about me?
Okay, well, it's. And I agree with you, but I am focusing right now on everything we've heard tonight and the personnel issues that we're hearing about and seeing how we can fix those,
yes.
Because we have to fix those somehow.
We're not going to take answers for questions from the audience because this is not about the audience and this.
Wait a second, Mayor. You let Vic come on.
Vic was part of the conversation.
Because it's Mr. Allen, is that why?
No, ma'am.
Mr. Allen?
No, ma'am.
I think so.
No, ma'am. I just conferred with my law director and he said this is not a debate. Mr. Collingraph, you have something to say?
Yeah, I just want to. Nobody's a winner here, we know that. This is just for Carol and the employees to come up there, the mayor to stand there. It's tough. And I agree that there's something not right and it needs to be investigated. There's no doubt about it. I feel in business, in most large companies who have HR departments, when they get in a situation like this, they have an HR person come to the department, they talk to each individual, they come up with, figure out what's going on, they talk to that manager, find out what's going on, and then they come up with a solution. Because all of us just walking out of here, and the employees walking out of here, the mayor walking out of here, and we don't have an answer to the problem, we haven't accomplished anything. You have to know where you're going. Just to kind of give you a little background, we had that meeting when Mr. Linville talked about the letter he received. I feel that letter being addressed to Denny, along with the mayor and Carol, who are Carlene's direct report, was appropriate. It didn't go to council. It went just to the people that were involved, and I see nothing wrong with that chain of command. That's my side. And I expressed that. I expressed that with the mayor, with Mr. Linville that night, and that's all I can do in this position is express my opinion. After that meeting, and none of this is a secret, I've talked with Mary quite a bit, and as I move on, you'll see who else I talked to. The other employees started to call me, and I heard through the rumor mill, and I hear things like, oh, like Carol said, well, Don said this. Well, I'm very businesslike because I'm very structured. My job here is to legislate and appropriate. Okay, I don't manage the employees. I talk very little to Kevin about his employees. That's his administration, and that's the mayor's job. Council here is to legislate and appropriate, and that means we make the laws and we appropriate the funds. Okay, how I got involved is the employees started to call me, and my name was being mentioned. Okay, or like Carol said, that Don said this or Don said that. Okay, so that's where I got involved. So, following that weekend, I called the mayor and said, we need to have a meeting. You, Bill Mason, and Mary, because Mary is the recreation chair and I'm council president. The four of us met up at the park. We had a two-hour meeting, okay, and we expressed the concerns that we had and also the concerns of the employees without using names or things, just this is what's going on. That was Wednesday, June 27th. The meeting lasted from 5:37 to about 7:26, 2 hours. And then the mayor, Bill Mason, myself, and Mary came up with, how about meeting with Carol, Carlene, Mary, and the mayor to talk about this and see if we can come up with a resolution and a game plan going forward to make things better. They met the following day, as it was mentioned. That's why I'm saying this, which was Thursday, June 28th. Mary, the mayor, Carlene, and Carol met. And I think that meeting took place a couple hours. And then we had our follow-up meetings. So I would be in agreement with other council members, too. And I have mentioned it, if there was a third party, because when you have a problem, you have to have the answer to the problem. It's no good for us to sit here. I mean, it was good to sit here. You get things come out, and I think that was healthy, and everybody agreed to it, and it happened. But I think we need to move forward with an answer, because if we don't make things better, then we're not doing our job.
If we don't work for a resolution, we're going to lose more employees, and that has to stop. We need to keep this village moving forward. You see the man at the top all the time, but it's all the people underneath who support him or her, and they have to all be a team. We're known as the A-team where I work, and I don't work for anyone. We work together, and we respect each other, and we are empowered to make decisions, and that's what has to happen here. There has to be an outside independent audit done, and everyone has to be honest and forthright, or we can't move forward. So everything has been aired. People have gotten to say what they wanted. It's not turned out the way we wanted, but let's hopefully get to some kind of resolution with this.
Can I have a motion to go into executive session, please?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion.
Wait, gentlemen.
Somebody else wants to make a motion, please. Go ahead.
I just want to clarify, because Gloria said that no one got any more money and all of that in 2017. Between 16 and 17, I believe it is. And our newest employee in one department and an employee in another department that were part-time was made to full-time, and a whole new employee in the other department was hired on. And I would just like it noted, for honesty and openness and transparency, that it has been verified, Mayor, that both of these employees happen to be related to your daughter by marriage.
Is there a motion to go to executive session?
We need order.
Please. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any questions or comments? Vote on a motion, please.
Councilperson Linville.
Yes.
Brunner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Terlowski.
Yes.
Kolograph.
Yes.
Spitznagel.
Yes.
Meeting executive session at 8:23 p.m. We'll probably go into the other room to close out our meeting. Thank you.